Welcome to the Mount Hammer Podcast, episode 124. That's a lot.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
That's like well over, if my maths is not totally borked, that's like well over 2 years we've been doing this iteration of the podcast now.
It's pretty good. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Never really thought about that. 124 of these mighty podcasts, and we still massively appreciate you all joining us. I am Mel, by the way, and I'm joined by Elle. Hello, Elle.
Hey.
Hi, I'm also joined by Jonathan. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm very good. Yeah, glad to be back.
Jonathan's looking resplendent with his Zoom background modded to an H.R. Giger painting. It looks,
of course,
very on brand. Loads to talk about this week. It, most importantly, right now, though, we're going to talk about the brand new issue of Metal Hammer, which is out as we speak in shops across the UK, available to order online from tinyurl.com/buyhammer. I won't lie to you guys, this issue was something of a Herculean task for us, and I'm sure you'll know why when you see it on the shelves. We gathered a ton, an absolute shit ton, of the biggest and best and most vital names in metal and rock today to talk to them about all the burning issues that we still need to address as the music world slowly but surely begins to come out of lockdown. I know we're not exactly out of lockdown now. I hope you're all staying safe out there, still wearing your masks, still socially distancing and all the rest of it. But there are a lot of signs that the music industry is starting to move forward again. A lot of exciting albums coming up. And so we thought we'd take a moment to pause and reflect on many of the things that are still affecting the music industry and what we need to talk about within that. And so with that in mind, we've got five cover stars on this month's issue. It's a huge one. We've got Rob Flynn from Machine Head. We've got Lizzie Hale from Hellstorm. We've got Jason Allen Butler from Fever 333 making his Metal Hammer cover debut. We've got Christina Scabbia from Lacuna Coil. And we've got Jamie Morgan from Code Orange. It's quite a motley crew, isn't it, that we've got on the cover this month, though?
Yeah, loads and loads of names. And we talk about loads of important issues about what's going on with the music industry, how bands are adapting to this new landscape, Black Lives Matter movement. We've also just got a load of really random fun stuff in there as well. I kind of just got, not that I'm on a leash, but I kind of got let off my leash that I wasn't on and just went off.
Thanks for clarifying.
I just went off and did some really weird things. So if you like Mastodon and clowns, there's a good feature in there for you.
Oh my word. The strangest feature we might have ever run, but a fucking brilliant feature as well. Elle basically did an interview with Bran from Mastodon about his love of clowns, which we have done in the magazine before. But it turned out he's been sketching a clown a day whilst in lockdown, hasn't he? And the actual kind of wider story around that actually ended up being something quite interesting, didn't it?
Yeah, he had a lot to say about sort of his journey into the art world and how it was picking up something he hadn't done since it was a kid, and how doing a clown a day actually helped him through lockdown, and how a lot of his friends in bands were in on it as well, and he was kind of sending round a clown a day to them. And then elsewhere, there's even more crazy stuff, like tiny miniature models of food made by Love Bites and a recipe for Mongolian dumplings from The Who and a colouring in sheet from In Flames.
It is mad. It's such a big issue. This thing basically takes up the whole issue. We've gathered as many names as we could, and some of them we've talked about, like big things that have been affecting them personally. For instance, I talked to Lizzie Hale from Hellstorm about her mental health issues that she's talked about in the past, and also the kind of ongoing mental health issues that are affecting the rock scene in general. She started up a really cool new show to kind of shed some light on that, so we talked about that. We've got Jamie and Reba from Code Orange talking about all the amazing live streaming stuff they've been doing, the way they've been pretty much revolutionizing the way we think about how we process and create content in the industry. Christina from Lacuna Coil was talking about what it was like being at the actual center of the COVID-19 epidemic. Lacuna Coil were pretty much the first metal band to kind of go into lockdown. So that was a really great chat that Elle did. There's loads of other stuff as well. So as well as all that, as Elle said, we've also just talked about all these bands, about all the mad stuff they've been doing while they've been in lockdown, from dumplings to making weird little models to satanic rituals, shout out Twin Temple, to all sorts of mad shit. So yeah, it is a huge feature that pretty much takes up the whole issue. It will give you a ton fun reading time over the next month or so. So if you like the sound of that, and we certainly hope you do, go over to your nearest shop that is stocking it while you're out, or you can pick it up online to get it delivered directly to your door from tinyurl.com/buyhammer. We're very proud of this issue, and as I always say, we're very appreciative and thankful for all you guys that continue to support us through what has been a pretty fucking mental time for magazines, let's be honest. So we very much appreciate you guys supporting us through all this, and we're going to carry on delivering you the goods. I can promise you that. Right, speaking of the goods, loads of good stuff happening in metal this week. Lots and lots of stuff. As I said earlier, that seems like metal's kind of moving forwards again. We're getting more and more new music on the way, more things happening all over the place. It's time to get excited, everybody. One of which is Corey Taylor's debut album is finally coming. It seems mad to me that Corey Taylor has never done a debut album before. I keep having to kind of double take every time I see this.
Yeah, it seems like he's just kind of messed about with fun things, really, which is fine. You know, he's done a load of different books. He's done his solo shows where he's done stuff from Sown Sour and answered people's questions, and has generally just been a figurehead away from Slipknot. So you kind of just think he must have already done this, but he totally hasn't. It's very weird.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's been gassing up his debut album in the news this week. He told Knotfest that the album is, quote, everything I wanted it to be. He said, in terms of influences, there's some Slade in there. What a first band to drop in. There's some Slade in there. There's some Johnny Cash. There's some Alice in Chains. Big choruses, fun rock, huge solos. It's incredible. And he also said he might release two tracks at once in the coming weeks.
Tracks at one time.
I'd like to hear the journey from Slade to Alice in Chains via Johnny Cash. I'd like to know what the common denominator that puts all those three influences together.
Corey Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we will certainly be doing some big things on that album as the weeks progress. So keep an eye on metalthehammer.com for more news on that. Dave Mustaine's releasing another book. I don't know if you guys, either of you guys have read the Life in Metal book that he put out a good few years ago.
Sadly, no.
I have. It is exactly as no holds barred and explosive as you would expect from Dave Mustaine. And his next book is going to be talking all about Rust in Peace, titled The Inside Story of the Megadeth Masterpiece. One of the single greatest metal albums of all time, but an album that was fraught with tensions and chaos and all sorts, as often the best art is. So that should be a good read as well, I reckon.
Yeah, he was one of my favourite people on Decline of the Western Civilization Part 2. Just so no fucks to give and so straightforward. It was great. I love the story about the hair buds.
Yeah.
I don't know the story about the hair buds.
Like, you get high by basically putting a cigarette on your own hair and then smoking it.
I mean, who wouldn't do that?
I'm in no position to try that. So thankfully I had to take him at his word.
Speaking of rock stars that have done many mad things over the years, Kiss have done, they've rescheduled their final European dates. Yes, believe it or not, we still haven't had Kiss's last ever shows yet. They are playing their final European tour across Europe in June and July next year. Looks to me like there might be space for something download shaped in those dates they've released so far. So we'll see. I don't actually know that, by the way, but you know, that's just me speculating.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Considering it was going to happen and now everything's been delayed, you think it would be the logical choice?
Yeah, so it looks very interesting anyway, the way they've shaped those dates. But if you're looking for a little European jolly to go see Kiss, head over to the Metal Hammer site now and you can see that full list of dates. And in more good news, apparently Ozzy is working on another new album already, even though Ordinary Man only came out earlier this year. And I was thinking about this, my God, that seems like a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was the album came out.
It literally seems like 10 years ago, but he did even say this, didn't he? Because we were talking about it on an earlier podcast. Soon after he released the record, he said he wanted to do another one. And I think we actually had some questions from readers about whether that was a good idea or not. But I mean, if he's on a roll and he's wants to work on new music, then like the sooner the better, really.
Yeah.
Do it while you can.
I genuinely liked Ordinary Man as well. I kind of found myself going back to it this week after this news came out because I realized I hadn't actually gone back to it a whole lot. But that's honestly just because it is becoming an increasingly incredible year for music. But Yeah, I genuinely really, really, really liked that last Aussie album. I thought it was really strong, kind of quite emotional in parts, which isn't something I've always thought of his modern material. But yeah, it's really good. Sharon Osbourne told Steve-O's Wild Ride, and yes, it is that Steve-O, that he's starting his second album with Andrew Watt right now, and you can't stop him. He's doing it. So yeah, all good stuff. And given that, you know, Ozzy was having to cancel tours left, right and centre and stuff, it's good to see that he's still feeling creatively on it and motivated to do the business.
Aren't the Osbournes doing some kind of supernatural TV show as well? Is that in the works?
Oh God, probably.
Some show about ghosts or something. I don't know. I've not Googled it recently, but there was definitely something going around about that.
Love it. Why not? I'd watch that. I'd watch the shit out of that. Ozzy and ghosts. Those are like two of my favourite things.
I'd want a companion album to it. So like a sort of spooky soundtrack.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd be down with that. Make it happen, someone.
It's going to be like half Osbournes, half the Monsters, isn't it?
The Monsters wasn't supernatural though, was it? That was just
Well, apart from the fact that you know, that they had a Frankenstein's monster and vampires.
Apart from the fact that their entire family are monsters. are undead monsters.
Yeah, or maybe the Addams Family.
Yeah, but it was like a real world. It's like, yeah. You know, in the Addams Family, that Thing obviously couldn't exist in real life, but it's just part of the world where... Yeah,
neither can vampires, Al.
But so is a supernatural part of the world. Like, if everything was supernatural, we wouldn't be talking about it being supernatural, would we? So supernatural always exists in the real world to differentiate it from the real world.
Oh, because... Oh the word... I've just realised that supernatural, the word... is like something that's natural, but then it's supernatural.
Jonathan just blew my tiny mind. We just went deeper than I was expecting.
That's what I'm here for.
Why did it take me so many years to realize that the word supernatural is...
Well, super means to go beyond. It's like supra.
Yeah, but I've never
it's
thought
not like
about
it's
it.
Great.
I never thought about it.
It's great.
I don't know how we move on from this. This is fucking crazy. I don't know where to start. El thinks that the Monsters is just about... that the Monsters is just about a normal family TV drama. Jonathan's giving us out here deep philosophical points behind the meaning of soup. I can't do this. Let's move on to the album of the week before my brain falls out the side of my head.
What the experience of this album.
Yes, yeah. Yes. This album is fucking hell, man. So this is one of those where I kind of proofread and give a last look at everything that goes through the magazine. So I see all the reviews before they go to print. And I remember Joe Daly's brilliant review of this record and thinking, oh, I need to go and check that out. This sounds really, really good, because I hadn't actually listened to it. And then I forgot about it completely. And then when we were looking at albums of the week, I nearly was like, oh, there's not a lot that kind of stands out here. Until Jonathan flagged this record by a band called Guerrilla. So this is a Portuguese black and death metal band. And I was a bit like, all right, well, we'll give it a go and make sure we get Jonathan in, because he's already listened to the record as well, so he can talk about it a bit. So I gave this album a proper listen, and it is fucking excellent. Like, absolutely fucking brilliant. Do you want to shed some background on the kind of, on this album and where it's come from and who these guys are, Jonathan? Because
yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of background, because they are deliberately shadowy. Like, they don't even have names, like not even initials, just nothing. In all the promo pictures, like their face, they've got these kind of masks on. Well, not they're masks, but they're like cover the whole head with like lots of kind of sigils on them. So it kind of draws from a lot of stuff that's been going on the last few years. This kind of very occult minded death and black metal, because like, you know, death metal kind of came back into the occult equation over the last few years, like a lot of bands, like you know, a lot of like death metal bands were taken on the occult mantle of from black metal, but this is still kind of black metal based. It's got a mixture of the two, and so it kind of draws from that kind of occult revival that's been happening the last couple of years, but also from a different kind of take on black metal that's been coming out. You know, there was a time after, say, Watain's Lord of Darkness, that everyone was sounding like Watain. And then a new bunch of bands came out, like Maguar and the Icelandic bands like Miss Thurming and Svarti Dauði, who had a kind of a different take on black metal, like a bit more muscular, and a bit more. It felt like a bit more emotional heft. Not that I don't find Watain albums emotionally involving, but it was just, it wasn't just going down the post-Watain route. It was definitely doing the same thing. And this has got that kind of sound to it. It's very expansive. You can hear bits of, you know, parallels with the later Behemoth albums, particularly The Satanist. But it's got such its own energy, and it really feels like it's trying to push through, like, push through to the other side in a way. It's it's a really involving, expansive record that has a lot of gristle to it as well.
It does, yeah. It's, I mean, Behemoth for me was the first kind of reference point I immediately picked up on listening to it, because their frontman, whomever he may be, really, that's not a hint that I think it's actually like Nurgle in disguise or something, by the way. They are just a legit random band out of Portugal. But he does really fucking sound like Nurgle. Like, he's really got that kind of imperious raw thing going on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, musically, Satanist era Behemoth, the heavier parts of this album are absolutely like that. But they're just layered with all these really kind of emotionally driven kind of post-black metal things as well. Like all those bands like Walls and the Throne and Alcest and all those kind of bands. Like, I really found... kind of a spiritual similarity with some of those passages on here as well. But it's all sewn together so flawlessly that even though, like, most of the songs kind of repeat a similar trick in that they'll either kind of slowly bring you in with this slightly more emotional post-black metal-y kind of thing and then just smash you with this kind of heavier death metal vibe. Or they'll do it the other way around. But each time they do it, it always catches you unawares because it just flows in each time. So you either kind of drags you in emotionally or just bashes you over the head and makes you feel like your face is getting burnt off. It's fucking stunning, actually. Like, I couldn't actually believe how much I was really into this album. What did you think of it, Elle?
I mean, I haven't really got anything to add, to be honest, just that I was, like you said, I was really surprised. I've made no secret in the past that I'm basically a basic metal bitch and I like a lot of basic metal. And I do go into like niche areas, but when it comes to more extreme stuff, I do tend to kind of leave that to you, Jonathan. But this record is great. There's so much melody in it, you know, which is something that I connect with more than kind of head down black metal. And there definitely is that in here, but it is a journey. It's not just one tone all the way through. There's so many different tones and there's so many different things to experience, and I was just really pleasantly surprised about how much I enjoyed it. And then, yeah, like you said, looking at the pictures of them, and then they've got those kind of hoods with sigils on, it just makes you, even though obviously it's been done, you know, we've had masks and we've had an anonymity, there's still something about the way that they've done it that is really intriguing. It just makes me want to know more about them.
Yeah, there's a certain kind of real knife edge tension to the record as well. You know, the similar dynamics you hear in Shamash, for instance, where, you know, it's like this feels like this kind of thirst for knowledge and take yourself to the furthest edges to kind of get there, and it seems to exist on that cusp. And, you know, a lot of especially on the more sort of occult end of it, you know, black and death metal, you know, it lives or dies by the level of conviction, and it's so clear. And so, you know, bowls you over on this. And it's great that, you know, a band with no compromise whatsoever can totally relate to it, even if you're not immersed in either the extreme death and black metal scenes, that, you know, it has that real power to communicate, which is what it seems to really be wanting to do, like get this kind of, you know, reaching for this sense of enlightenment, but really physical grasping for it.
You know, I haven't got a lyrics corner this week because I haven't gone that in depth, but we should probably just spell out the band name for people who do actually want to find out more, because it's a bit confusing. If you want to Google it, it's G-A-E-R-E-A. G-A-E-R-E-A.
And the album's called Limbo.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think I mentioned that. Yeah. So that's Guerrilla Limbo, out this Friday on Season of Mist. Honestly, I had not even heard of this band. I think it's their second record, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's second record. I had not even heard of this band before the review that ran in the magazine, and then I actually listened to it for the first time this week, and this is already one of the very best extreme metal albums I've heard this year. I think it's fucking excellent, and it's one of those albums where it's got those ingredients where you could see them doing even more with it, even more with their sound. So I'm excited about the potential of this band. So yeah, go check out Guerrilla Limbo. If you're only going to listen to one thing this week, make it that. Let's take some questions from our wonderful community of readers over at facebook.com/Melhammer Readers. And I just want to give a quick shout out to everyone as well on that Facebook group, because there's a big thread about where the magazine's been at in the last couple of months during the whole lockdown thing. And a lot of people had some really nice things to say about it all, and we really appreciate that. So thank you very much. You're all awesome and we love you. Elle, do you want to take the first question?
Yeah, sure. Chris Lloyd asks, what's your favourite song combinations? For example, Judas Priest's The Hellion / Electric Eye.
I think for metal, that's like the ultimate one, isn't it? Because you just can't get one without the other. I found this quite hard, actually, without just picking intro tracks. But for the ones I've picked, they do tend to always go one after the other.
So I found it very easy.
Oh, go on then. You probably...
Tool, Parabol and Parabola.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that anyway, really, but that is a good one.
My favourite.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to do it. Like,
That one's the best one.
Oh, okay. Well, I had... as I say, mine kind of... What came to mind for me was like intro tracks that always lead into the first song of a set. So I had two Slipknot ones, which is 7426170000027. Into Sick, or even more so for me, 515 Into People Equal Shit. There is no better way to start a Slipknot show than that for me. And then another one I thought of, that the first time I saw them did this was on the Invaders Must Die tour, and it remains one of my all-time favorite live moments ever / kind of favorite live gimmicks that a band does. But when the Prodigy do the Omen reprise into... so the kind of like slowed down, slightly remixy version of Omen that appears halfway through that album, and then they just go straight into Invaders Must Die with the doo, 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 doo thing. That is fucking just heavy dance music perfection, basically. I love that so much. So much so that when I listen to Prodigy mixes, sometimes I even put those songs next to each other just for the fuck of it.
Why not?
That's mine. Did you have any that came to mind, Jonathan?
Yeah, this I found this. I mean, until like one hit me, just like, well, of course, I found it kind of difficult as well, because the things bands I thought did do medleys live, like Jane's Addiction, but I couldn't find any examples of it. Or I mean, I was sure there are medleys on the second half of Station to Station by David Bowie, like where one song kind of cuts the other, but I was trying to think of the metal one, and just like, oh yeah, of course. So Nagura Bunjet, the Romanian band, who's drummer and one of the main founders, Gabriel or Negri, passed away sadly a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. But so that they had an album out in called On, and I think it's the greatest metal album of the first decade of the millennium. Of the I hate saying the word noise, but so on the album it's the intro. But when they played it live, they'd always leave it till the end of the set. And so it's these two songs that start off on called, and I'm probably pronouncing them completely wrong, but Cesori Relay and then Tesserul de Lumini. And so one always leads into the other. And it's the most amazing journey you'll ever go on. And, you know, when the first riffs of Cesserul come on, and it's just like they're just so luminous, and you're just waiting for this energy to pull you along. And the first time I saw them do it live was, again, early 2000s at the Purple Turtle in London. And those two songs bend into each other, and still just one of the most amazing live experiences I've ever been. And just like, it was a black metal gig, but people were genuinely almost like in the verge of tears by the end of it. Just takes all your breath away, these two songs. To Cesar Rule, it's just it's got so much atmosphere and so much energy to it, and it really feels like you've been pushed through this portal into some vast new realm. And it's just the best song combination ever. And when you hear the first notes of one and you know what's coming, just the anticipation, and then when it hit, and then when it all sort of comes together, it's incredible. Always
That sounds incredible. Yeah, I never got to see them live, actually, but that does sound absolutely amazing.
Yeah, amazing band. Amazing band.
Matt Heeks asks, you are asked to run a Metal Hammer TV station. What programs would you have on it, and who would you have in the shows? Journalists, writers, band members, anyone from rock and metal? Goodness me, this is a big one. What would we put together for the first ever Metal Hammer TV station, TV channel, a whole channel for all things Metal Hammer?
It's really hard. I was trying to think of like things in categories. So actual TV programs that exist that you could do reruns of. You could do Metalocalypse. I can never pronounce it.
Metalocalypse.
That would be really cool. You could do Beavis and Butthead, you know, so that's sort of your sort of MTV cartoon type area. I'd have a metal movie slot every Friday night where you'd make a whole evening like building up to a particular metal movie with like special guests talking about the movie, and you could like really sit in and like watch the film. And then in terms of people on it, band members, you could have Lars's new band show, because he's always quite a good warrior for promoting new bands. Lizzie Hale at the moment is obviously doing stuff on YouTube, so you could have Lizzie Hale's chat show, which could be like a more general show with different people. Freddie Lim at the moment is doing Metalhead Politics, a podcast that you can read about in the new issue, so he could kind of do like a global metal politics type show. And then from our writers, you could have Dom Lawson doing something like his Iron Sandwich, like reviewing records. Merlin, I thought you could do some kind of wrestling show about metal and wrestling's crossover.
Sure, I'd do that.
We've got a new writer, Yasmin Suman, who's really into emo. She could do an emo show. And then Steve Hill, I was thinking, he just rants about stuff really and moans, but then he's good at deep diving into obscure things too. So he'd have to have some kind of, I don't know whether it's a whole show or it's a slot on Lizzie's talk show. You could maybe have Lizzie hosting a show and then other people like Dom doing his Iron Sandwich and Steve ranting about things kind of within that show. Wow. That's as far as I got. It's just a little pun.
I'd watch that. If there's any, you know, people with some budget that want to commission us to create something, I'd watch that. Jonathan, what's going on your Metal Hammer TV?
I literally just had one idea just now. So back when I was a kid, you used to get like cartoon versions of actual TV shows, there was a Star Trek cartoon and there was a Batman cartoon where they'd introduce one pointless new character that would ruin everything, like, or not ruin it, but you know, I remember the Batman cartoon had Batmite, for instance,
and I'm Batmite. Sure that,
yeah. I remember Batmite.
Yeah. Batmite?
Just this,
he's like this little kind of interdimensional weird being that kind of looks like Batman but small, and he just kind of pops up and annoys everyone. Reader, yeah. And Batman alike.
Is it strength might or might like a termite?
Like
a little character. But the Star Trek cartoon, if I remember, had this little green character that would just go around on the deck and just annoy people. But I've got like such a lot of nostalgia for those. So I'd like to have a cartoon version of the Osbournes, but with some weird talking pet.
Yeah, well, didn't they have like a load of dogs in the Osbournes, so all the dogs could talk?
Yeah, but this would be, I'd have it like some other, like some, you have to have something a bit more exotic than a dog, like maybe a talking armadillo or something like that. Just some random, it's a cartoon, you can do anything. So just some random animal that talks and just maybe has a bit of, you know, is always like bickering with Ozzy.
I feel like mine's too normal now, and I just kind of drew on what was around me, and actually I should have used my imagination to think, if we had infinite budget, what would we commission? Because you could commission some insane stuff.
Yeah, well, it's just when you talked about the cartoons like Metalocalypse, which was insane and amazing. That kind of made me think of we should do a cartoon version of the Osbournes.
I, again, would watch the shit of... watch the shit out of that. I thought if I was doing something, first of all, we'd have the Metal Hammer podcast TV show, obviously. I mean, Elle and I did actually record a pilot for a Metal Hammer TV thing a couple of years back. which we thought was quite cool, and I'd totally like to resurrect that for this, or some kind of variation thereof. I also had a variation of Dom's Iron Sandwich on here. People may remember Dom used to record these kind of fun YouTube reviews for us a few years back. You know, we've kind of talked a few times about maybe bringing those back. They were really good fun. I'd give Corey Taylor his own chat show, because Lord knows he's not shy about talking. So many a guest to come on there. I would have Danny Filth reading horror stories by a fireplace.
Oh my God, Jack and Nori.
Yeah, like
Jack and Nori with Danny Filth.
Filth and Nori.
Filth and Nori, there you go. Named it, it's happening.
Danny Laurie.
I would have The Who doing a cooking show in honour of our new issue. Just because. Hopefully they can make more than beef dumplings.
Get him and Kunal from... you know, the vegan chef, because he's so funny as well.
Yeah, well, because originally I was actually going to have Danny Filth doing the cooking thing, but then I thought, hold on, I've just ripped that off the vegan black metal chef. So, yeah, he can come in and help The Who out every so often. I would... Jonathan just gave me an idea for an animated thing as well, but it would be Noel the Troll and Jürgen in sharing a flat together.
Oh, miss Jürgen.
That would be so good!
For those that remember our old comic strip friends and kind of... What is it like? Agony Aunt? Weirdo, these answer stuff in Metal Hammer back in the day. And the final thing I had, I would introduce the MFL, the Metal Fighting League, starring Matt Heafy, Chris Jericho, Zoltan Bathory, Jamie Morgan. The theme is obviously people that do martial arts. Maine and James Keenan, Carl Sanders from Nile, Andy Williams from Every Time I Die, and then I'd have Ellen Sean as well, because they're hard and they do stuff.
I'd also like to have metal bands giving like guys to their hometowns or like the places where they played their first gigs and stuff like that. Like, you know, I'd love like to see a guy to Ymir from either Meshuggah or Cult of Luna, for instance.
We did have one in a previous magazine, so there is probably one online, although it's not a video one, it's a words one. But yeah, I like to think we'd have some good documentary programming actually, which we haven't even touched on. There's so much to plan, guys.
So much to do. We've got to do this. Jonathan, do you want to do the next question while I start making some calls to some TV companies?
Yeah. A kid asks you what metal is. So what album from the last 10 years do you show them?
And that is from Joe Bambrick.
Yeah.
I think we had this one before, because I said the Black Album by Metallica, because I kind of think metal...
Last 10 years.
Oh, I didn't see that bit.
Read the question.
I've not thought of an answer for that.
All right, well, I've got an answer, and I am 100% comfortable with it as well. So I was kind of thinking, you know, it's tempted to say something like Code Orange, because that's the kind of real cutting edge of where heavy music's at right now, but that's not really the best example of what metal is in of itself. At the same time, I don't just want to say like, oh, a recent Metallica or a recent Iron Maiden album. So I was trying to think of an example of, for me, what... whether you want to call it heavy metal or metal, but how it should sound in its purest form in 2020. And for me, it's absolutely the new Trivium album, What the Dead Men Say. That to me is like, if someone says, what's metal sound like? They want to know something from the last 10 years, I would give them that Trivium album all day long, because to me, that is heavy metal in 2020 fucking perfected as an art form. I think it is absolutely, it sounds like something made in the spirit of what metal is all about, but it sounds like it's from the here and the now. And so that's
a really good answer, because it's metal as well, like straight up metal. Like, you could pick a lot of other different albums, but they'd be going straying off into different subgenres. And if you want to pick something that kind of can unite people and have a sort of central core modern sound, it's a really good example.
Thanks. Just going with that.
I've got well, depending on how in at the deep end you want to go, I've got two. I just want albums that will kind of give you the whole spirit of what metal is and the experience of it. So I'm going to go for like the not entirely deep end, but Sword Songs by Grand Magus. It's just
yeah.
It's just
fighting metal.
Exactly.
Bring it to your
it's
knee.
Just like, you know, it gets across the whole absurdity, the unity, the anthemic nature of it, and just that kind of really elevating spirit of heavy metal. So just on a, just if you go to a Grand Magus gig and you get the vibe there, I think you'll understand from my side of thing, you know, as much of my side of thing as anyone else's, but just what it feels like to be at a metal gig and just be part of this crowd with your fist raised in the air and just and this kind of total celebration by someone who can really genuinely sing and just, yeah, it's got this absurdity, but it just it totally runs with it in a very sort of serious way. It's not like self-ironic in any way, but it totally celebrates the absurdity of heavy metal.
So that's
one. And my deep end one, I keep going on about this band, but I'm going to give you reasons why, would be Lawless Darkness by Watain. Just because...
Whoa!
I'll tell you why. Because it carries so... Again, because it's a single album, but it really carries the history of metal in it. I mean, it's got like... it's got twin leads. It's got melody. It's got D beats. It's got really great anthemic songs. It's got Satan. And it's got absolute take you to the limit conviction, and so that's my theory. Like, see how you deal with that. I mean, again, Watain are very good.
You want to know what metal is? It's some fucking metal.
yeah. But again, Watain is another band. But Watain is another band that appeals to people outside of the, outside of the black metal realm, and people. You know, I've seen people go see their gigs and just go, oh my god, it's a genuinely conversion moment. So if you want it in its like most concentrated form, with that would be the album. And it's there's a lot of metal history running in it, like, you know, like I said, they're masters at twin leads, and there's a lot of things going on that album that just take on the whole history of heavy metal.
There you go. Two very, very fine answers there that will, at the very least, scare the shit out of kids if they hear that for the first time, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. The things that I got obsessed with, they scared the shit out of me the first time I heard them.
Very good point, yeah. First time I ever watched a horror movie, I was fucking hooked. It didn't put me off, so it's absolutely not a bad tactic at all. Elle, did you think of one while we were gassing up all these fine bands?
No.
Okay.
You know how terrible I am at lists, and like I've just
not a list. It's one thing.
No, but it's
opposite of a list.
You have to do a list in your mind of every album that's come out between 2010 and 2020, and then pick through that mind list.
No, you don't. I literally just thought, what's an album that really defines metal? And I just thought Trivium straight away.
I can't think of anything. Oh, fine. Maybe Gojira Magma. That would be a good
what
one.
What a shout!
But there's like there's tons of other stuff, but just in terms of like a modern metal band that are doing modern things that a ton of other metal bands have copied, that sounds really heavy, but is still probably accessible just enough for people who could get the slower bits, even if they didn't get the heavier bits, that maybe could work.
That's a brilliant shout. I actually think we've created a perfect kind of roadmap between us all for someone. So you kind of start them on Grand Magus to get an idea of the kind of purity and the roots and the kind of heavy metal in its purest form. You move on to Trivium for something a bit heavier and kind of a bit more modern sounding. Then you move into Gojira for the even heavier aspect and the more expansive experimental. And then you fucking take them home with Watain to be like, here's where it ends up. And if you don't like that, you're not welcome. No, I'm joking.
Don't be a gatekeeper, Merlin.
I am not a gatekeeper at all. Gate smasher, that's me. I noticed we missed another question by Daniel Platez, which asked if there was any chance to expand the podcast and make it more like a YouTube show with cameras and such. Absolutely, that's something that we do talk about. I mean, we are all on camera right now. The problem is the pandemic means that I won't bore everyone with all the details, but basically, obviously, we're having to kind of restrict things like budgets and stuff like that at the moment. So any chance we would have had of doing that anyway is now a lot further off than it might have been. But we're always talking about ways to do podcasting differently, stream differently, whether we can do stuff with YouTube. These are all long and short term things that we talk about all the time at Metal Hammer. So yes, we are absolutely thinking about ways to do things a bit differently. Do you want to do the next one, Elle?
Sure. Scott, I've just stopped talking. Scott Sir Temple. Hi, Scott. He asks, what's some of the best things to happen to you during this pandemic? For me, I've read a lot of good books, written a lot of short stories, and made some new friends. I want to read the short story. Why can't I talk?
You okay?
No. I got overexcited about Mel. Scott, I would really like to read some of your short stories if they're publicly available. Please share them with the Metal Hammer readers group if you fancy it, and we can all have a look and see what you've been writing about. Anyway, in case you didn't get that because I messed up the question, Scott wants to know the best things about the pandemic, like things that we've been doing that have been good.
What you've been doing that's been good, Jonathan?
Well, I haven't had a lot of downtime during this pandemic because I've been, I guess none of us have had a huge amount of downtime because we've all been sort of working hard, putting magazines together. I've been getting to do a lot more features, which is great. I've really been enjoying doing that. And the only things that I've been, which I probably would have done anyway, but it's just obviously doing them during the pandemic gives you a little bit of, gives it a different bit of a different cast. We were having, because I live in a house full of like 5-6 people, doing lots of barbecues with the house members. And because I live in, lucky enough to live, because I'm lucky enough to have a garden, and also because I'm lucky enough to live in Muswell Hill, been doing loads of walks with a local friend and just discovering all these amazing parks and walkways around Muswell Hill, like old railway tracks that lead to Finsbury Park, where there's a weirdly an arch and a big demon, like,
the little goblin lad that sticks out of the corner. Yeah, I used to run.
What?
He's brilliant.
I want to see him. Has anyone got a photo?
Oh, you must have seen him, El. So many people post him and stuff. It's an abandoned railroad and there's this random, there's these like little arches along the side of it and some of them have little statues in, and one random one, there's this little like goblin guy that's just like peeking out.
I'm desperate to go to that abandoned railway. I've seen it on all those like loads of different websites about what to do in London. I've always wanted to go and see it, but it's a bit too far north for me to go at the moment, but after the pandemic I want to go there.
And I think at the very far end of it there's a bat sanctuary or something, isn't there?
What?
Super goth. I think there is, you know, I don't think I've made that up, but anyway, yeah. What? That's cool. Yeah, I've been,
why have I not been?
Well, you need to rectify that. I've been doing a lot of walks and stuff. I live in Hemel Hempstead, which is kind of known as the most wonderfully picturesque town in England, but the bit I walk in, I found a lot of really nice greener areas that I didn't even know existed, and I probably would have never found if I hadn't gone exploring during lockdown, not just going straight out and exploring while we're supposed to be on lockdown, but while we were kind of allowed to take our hourly exercise out and stuff. That's what I'd spend it doing. I also really got into basketball off the back of the Last Dance documentary. I'm now a fully jerseyed up Brooklyn Nets fan. If there are any other basketball supporting people in the Melbourne Facebook group, make yourselves known because the season's about to restart and I'm very excited about it. And I did a lot of really cool gaming, like the healthy kind of gaming where you like log on with real life friends with headsets and just kind of go and have a really good laugh doing whatever, mainly Rocket League and Red Dead Redemption in my case. Read some books. I've finally started reading It by Stephen King, which I've been meaning to read for fucking ever, but I finally got stuck into it recently. Getting a tiny bit more into craft beer. I'm not quite a proper craft beer wanker yet, but I've been ordering in more beers from like independent breweries and stuff like that to test stuff around, and I've started to get a bit more appreciation of it. So yeah, there's definitely some silver linings in this hell.
We've been having bonfires in our garden. We've got this big metal dustbin, so I've been setting up lots of fires, and playing Heilung with Roger and already got a big fire going is great.
Oh, actually, on a music note as well, I should say I've spent more time playing my vinyl than I have ever, just because I've got, I'm working at my desk all the time, so I can actually just get up and change the site and all that kind of stuff. So that's been really nice. What's been your lockdown highlights, Elle?
Tai Chi and cake. So yeah. I've been doing loads of Tai Chi. I do two classes a week, or three classes a week technically anyway, but they've been doing these live streaming sessions where you can do Qigong in the morning and they concentrate on different things on each lesson. So this week we're concentrating on the eagle and the snake. So it's doing movements that mimic the movements of an eagle or of a snake. So this morning when I was doing my snake movements, I couldn't help but think of the Isan song of the eagle and the snake.
That is why Elle would be a fierce contender in the metal fighting league.
But yeah, loads of the movements have got really metal names as well. Like I'm sure I talked about this before, but some of the saber movements are called things like turn and slash, which is like slashing a person's body, entwine to hack, which is like hacking a person's
body.
Sounds
like 3 inches of blood song titles.
Yeah, or Cannibal Corpse songs.
Yeah. And then there's other ones like in the fan form that I do, which is another kind of martial arts form. There's Black Dragon Shakes Its Tail. So Turn the Body and Strike the Tiger. So there's loads of kind of like cool metal animal names. So yeah, I've been doing a lot more Tai Chi and getting really into that, which is fun. And then I'm really obsessed with cake anyway, and chocolate cake especially. And there's this amazing chocolate cake that my friend's French girlfriend turned me onto. And if you Google French molten chocolate cake...
Oh, you love that stuff, don't you? You're always posting about it.
It's so good. It's so good. The website is lalita.com. I have no skin in this game. I'm not advertising them. I'm just obsessed with this recipe. All you need is a couple of eggs, some dark chocolate, some flour, some sugar, and you just shove it all together in a bowl, put it in the oven for 15 minutes, and it has this like molten lava dark chocolate center, and it's amazing. And then when it cools down, it's like a really thick sort of a brownie cake, but then you can reactivate it in the microwave to like make it have a molten lava core again. It's literally the best cake in the world.
That sounds lush, absolutely lush. So yeah, definitely trying to make the most of what has been a pretty fucking mad year so far. Let's do one more question. Jamie Phillips says, AC/DC's Back in Black album turns 40 years old this weekend. Absolutely amazing. What are your thoughts on one of the greatest hard rock albums of all time? That's a leading question. And what are your favourite tracks on it?
Good journalism skills, Merlin.
I mean, yeah, what else is there to really say about what is unquestionably one of the greatest hard rock albums of all time and probably the greatest comeback album in the history of music? Is that fair to say?
On any metric.
I remember going to, I've just started a story without knowing where it's going. I can't remember. There's a club in North London. There's like a dance. Oh, Fabric. That's the one. I remember going to Fabric literally like 15 years ago or something. And it wasn't my thing at all, but I just went with some friends and it was all like dance music and stuff. And then they just had this little side room. I don't know what it was there for. And there were just some people who were obviously on lots of drugs, just kind of lying around. And they were just playing Back in Black. And I was like, I found my room. Because it was like, they're playing some rock. Like, I don't have to go and listen to all the dance. And it was so random. And yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you can go to loads of places and you can hear songs from this record just sort of incongruously, like you wouldn't almost think they'd be played there, but it's sort of seeped into like the everybody's consciousness because it's such a massive record.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why it still sounds as good today as it probably did 40 years ago today is that even though it's like a kind of basically a blues rock album, there's no nostalgia in the album itself. It's because it's everything is so kind of whittled down to the essence. And there's that line in Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution where it goes, we're just talking about the future, forget about the past. And so it's because it's such an in the moment album, it never had nostalgic for the old blues days either, so it just feels really exciting now. And yeah, it's just, and it's always feels like in the moment, because you know, it's got, people forget the power of repetition, which AC/DC, and you listen to Back in Black and you kind of forget how repetitive the riffs are, but that's what's really effective. But it's also, it's great that you forget that they're using repetition on the riffs, because you know, it's almost like there's almost like this kind of mantric thing to them that other bands have kind of picked up on. And it's like with Maiden, it's like what they do isn't rocket science, Thin Lizzy, it's not rocket science, but no one else can do it. Like literally no one else can do it. Like every band you've heard that tried to be like Maiden or try to be like AC/DC or try to be like Thin Lizzy, they don't have that thing that is the magic. And it's such a great record.
Yeah, it's just fucking flawless really. And just the kind of story of how it came together. And calling the album Back in Black as well, it's just like everything about it is just so spot on and so perfect.
So good.
Do you guys have a favourite song on the album? Mine kind of changed a bit. Sorry, go on.
just the title track. I know it's obvious, but just the title track, I think, and then maybe Hell's Bells.
I like Giving the Dog a Bone, actually.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's just because it's really got the repetition. I love the way Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution kind of builds up and like it's dragging itself forward.
Yeah, that's cool.
Even just the way he says that phrase as well is just really cool.
Mm. Yeah, I think some of the lyrics on Let Me Put My Love Into You haven't really stood the test of time.
No, I mean, yeah, 40 years ago, a little while back. I think my favorite track is Shoot to Thrill because I just love that kind of, like when AC/DC do kind of step it up that little, almost like fourth and a half gear. Like I just love the slight urgency they have around those songs that they, you know, that's why I love tracks like Thunderstruck and I love the ender for those about to rock and all those kind of moments. But Shoot to Thrill just has this slight more electricity and earnestness and kind of excitement around it. And I kind of felt like that was probably my favorite track on the album anyway, but then it was kind of consolidated forever when Iron Man lands with it playing through his speakers in Avengers because it was just one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a cinema. I was listening to another podcast where they were all taking the piss out of that moment because they're like, oh, Tony Stark's so lame. He lands thinking that like AC/DC is cool to like impress everyone. I was like, fuck you. AC/DC is cool. They are always cool.
I was gonna say something but I just don't have anything to add just apart from it is always cool. Like there are bands that just date and aren't cool, but AC/DC are always cool.
AC/DC are always fucking cool. And you know, we see the endless rumors that Brian's coming back to the band and all this, and if they can get it together and do that one final world tour together, I would love to see it, because the one time I've seen AC/DC were I think on the day me and my girlfriend at the time got something like, we got like 60 quid tickets for nosebleeds in like Wembley Stadium. We were so far away that we walked along the back of the stadium and I looked down and I actually got a bit of vertigo and I was actually a bit like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up at this gig. This is mental. As soon as they came on, I forgot about it and it was still one of the most fun gigs I've ever been to. I would love to see AC/DC one last time. Just rock and roll in its purest, most jubilant, celebratory and electric form, I think.
Yeah, the power of the boogie.
Yes, exactly this. What a great album. I think I'm going to have to go and listen to that today now. That is it for this week's show. We're going to do a new Metal Hammer Podcast Hall of Fame very soon. Who's going to join the likes of Hollywood by Matt? No, not Hollywood. I always say that because I wanted it to be. Antichrist Superstar by Marilyn Manson and the debut Slipknot album and Alive or Just Breathing by Killswitch Engage and many more classics. Who's going to join all of those in the Metal Hammer Podcast Hall of Fame? Keep an eye on the Readers Facebook group for more news on that so you can see which bands we're going to pick and vote on the albums we debate. But in the meantime, we'll be back next week. Don't forget to go and pick up the new issue if you can. We're very pleased with it and we're sure you will love it very much. We will see you all then. Stay safe and stay metal, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.